Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm also excited to talk to Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, Pick Six podcast moderator, who is without a hat today, somehow, if you're watching on video. And these videos go up almost immediately on the Adam Gold Show page on YouTube. How are you, Will?
Are we on YouTube, too? I thought we were just on, like, local...
No, these things, we post everything on YouTube.
Channel is.
We post everything on YouTube.
So. You have your own YouTube page? How cool. How exciting. You're basically like Mr. Beast.
That's what my son calls me. No, he doesn't.
I tell Robbie I'm a YouTuber all the time.
Well, you are.
Yeah.
You guys are all.
So are you.
Yes. And I'm.
You got your YouTube page. You're a YouTuber.
I might have multiple YouTube pages. We have an Adam Gold Show.
That sounds like an administrative screw up more than anything else.
I'm not yet on fans only. Maybe we do that at some point.
Only fans. Probably good that you don't know that. That's good. It's a wise, whether it was intentional or not, it's a wise screw up on your part.
All right, should we just talk?
I think I'm the idiot for being correcting you.
All right, so yeah, good. I'm such an innocent man. All right, let's get to, first of all, do you think the Ravens, not that you're feeling good after losing that game.
I can't wait to be at like my son's basketball game on Saturday and somebody's like, why are you talking about OnlyFans on the radio? or maybe somebody asked you about Nolita Hill. If you know, you know.
I have no idea. I'm glad I don't know.
You are.
All right, so the Ravens are probably happy that their game was the first game and not the second game, because all we're talking about here is Dan Campbell and his decisions.
Dan Campbell got him off the hook, huh?
Sort of, yeah. I mean, in Baltimore, they're not talking about Dan Campbell's decisions. But there were only two games. We will eventually get around to why Baltimore fell short against Kansas City. But let me start with the because I think there were four decisions that are worth talking about. And I put them up in a poll. Which of these decisions was the worst? The field goal before the end of the first half, the fourth down try on the first possession of the second half after San Francisco kicked a field goal, the fourth down try, down three in the fourth quarter, and then the timeout they took late in the fourth that essentially ended the game when they didn't get the onside kick. I think it was the timeout. I think they had to be prepared. If they were going to run the ball on third down, they had to be prepared. They were going to have to run another play, and they had to do that quickly because taking the timeout really ended the game. It ended it.
I'm with you. Look, I mean, you know, we can, and all my group chats last night were a buzz about the fourth down decision making, and shout out to my buddy Nathan, who just shamelessly berates me for the numbers every time somebody goes for it on fourth down on ATW. But I think that the only one that for me, like, if Dan Campbell wants to go for it on fourth down, go for it. If he wants to do what you. He's been good about this all year long. He's been aggressive. It's part of the reason we call him Dan Gamble. We love seeing him do it. And I think it's crazy to change your identity midstream, particularly in a playoff matchup.
Right.
Having said that, running the ball on third down by the goal line, and then burning a timeout before the fourth down. Granted, it's great that you call a timeout because you want to make sure that you can you have a play call in place to go for it. But then you cannot stop the clock.
Right.
You're forcing yourself to get the onside kick. And honestly, I think that's not so much a in-the-moment failure as it is sort of a pre-planning failure. It's kind of something you usually see from Kyle Shanahan. They should have had, when they got the first down, and they called the timeout with a minute left. They scored the touchdown with 56 seconds left. They really should have just kicked earlier in the possession. Or they should have kicked on the previous fourth down. Now, it's worth noting Michael Badgley, their kicker, sub 60% from 45 to 49 yards.
Oh, wait a second. Sub 60% from 45 to 49 yards? So why why was everybody just assuming that in the third quarter and then in the fourth quarter that those would have automatically been successful field goals?
Well, that's part of the failure when we have this discussion is that people say you take the points. You're not getting 3 points.
You can't just ask for the points and they hand them to you.
It's not like it's a pass back in an NC State football game. You're not like walking through the gate and getting handed a ticket. It's like I'll have a pass back. I don't know why that's what I thought.
It's
of.
Fine.
You're not being given 3 points. It's just, there's a percentage chance of converting. The field goal, all of that goes into play when you're talking about whether or not to go for it. And if Badgley's, if you're talking like 260% chances, I mean, you're probably going to get one of them.
Right.
Like that's what the math
says. You're probably just going to get one.
But if he's 59.8%, which I think is what it, maybe it's 59.4%. Either way, the Lions probably feel like their odds of converting a fourth and two is higher based on their success rate doing it. In fact, I would almost guarantee that the odds of them doing it are higher than Badgley's kick conversion rate. So,
especially the way San Francisco was playing.
But right, but that aside, you're going to have to get a field goal at some point if you want to take it to overtime. They probably should have kicked earlier and then just kicked off and played defense because
let me just drag it back a little bit. They pick up a first down. They get to like the 15 or so yard line. And it took about almost 20 seconds, maybe let's say 15 seconds, because I actually think it was closer to 20, before they actually snapped the ball as they were getting set and the center was calling out the blocking.
I've got the numbers right in front of me.
Right.
They ran no huddle at 1:39 on the clock. Goff hits LaPorta for 8 yards. They get a first down. They had a first down with one inside the 2 minute warning. They ran that play. It's 1:39. They get that off. They hit Amon-Ra St. Brown for 1:37. Second and two. They get a first down at the 9 and then run a play with 1:16 left.
Right. So maybe on first and goal from the 9, you spike the ball to stop the clock so that time doesn't run off. Right. Because it siphoned 20 or so seconds off, out of the game. But even so, if you throw the ball on third down, you don't have to worry about calling the timeout if it's an incomplete pass, or at least have the next play call ready so you don't end your chances of winning the game. I'm not against trying to score that touchdown because it's easier to get in field goal range than it is to have to score another touchdown when the other team knows they just need to keep you in bounds. I get it. But there comes a point where you wait too long. Here's the other part of this conversation. Will Brinson is here, and I promise we'll get to the Ravens and the Chiefs because historically speaking, we should be talking about the Chiefs. I guess somewhere along the line, everybody forgot that according to DVOA, the 49ers have like a top 10 all-time offense since they have been tabulating whatever data they tabulate. And at some point,
mid-80s, I think.
Right. Yeah. And at some point, with Detroit defense, especially their pass defense, not being as good, at some point they were going to start making plays. 281 yards of second half offense in the first 5 drives. I guess that was San Francisco getting theirs, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's sort of. Sometimes we lose sight of the bigger picture when, they had a 24-7 lead. At halftime, and they lose 34-31. I think 34-31 is probably a predicted score for a lot of people out there before the game ever kicked off.
Right.
Like the idea that San Francisco was not going to, people are like, game's over. It's like, dude, San Francisco can score points, and they can score them quick.
Yep.
They're an explosive offense. They have not had a ton of success coming from behind, and I do think that Kyle Shanahan is more of a front-running play caller, and I think Brock Purdy's more of a front-running quarterback. But in the same vein, this is an offense that has Christian McCaffrey, has Brandon Ayuk, has Deebo Samuel, has Kyle Juszczyk.
They didn't even use George Kittle.
Yeah.
He was a blocker.
And I do think that part of the problem is watching the game in real time after Dan Campbell kicked the field goal and fourth and 3.5 probably. In hindsight, he went down and looked and it was like that, it was just, they kicked the field goal before halftime.
Right.
You know, felt like, oh, that's a very un-Dan Campbell thing to do. And then everything went not their way, you know, like immediately after. It's like, whether it was the fumble on first down by Jahmyr Gibbs, whether it was you know, blitzing a cornerback and having him grab Brock Purdy, but Purdy somehow gets out of his grasp and hits George Kittle for a toe tap first down. It's like, it, you know, whether the punt that should be down, that you think it's going to be down the one, right, it ends up going, you know, like everything went the 49ers' way and went against Detroit. And so it felt like just, you just felt the pressure. Yeah, it felt like, oh, this is a collapse. But in reality, I think it's maybe more like, I don't know, Detroit went ape in the first half on both sides of the ball, and the 49ers played a much better second half, adjusted, and got a ton of breaks.
Yeah, the second half is actually the way I thought the game would be played. I really thought that San Francisco would be able to control Detroit, but Detroit's run game in the first half was beyond the pale of really comprehension, and that's why I thought they should have gone for it on the first one. 28-7 is a knockout punch. Just, it might not be a knockout punch. It just felt differently. All right, you didn't even mention the Brandon Ayuk catch off the off Vildor's face. It was just amazing.
Yeah, dude, like, right? I mean, that kind of stuff was going their way, and then, you know, Detroit has the flea flicker to J-Mo that, you know, is it just, everything went San Francisco's way in that second half.
All right, let me get to the other game, because I think we only got a few minutes left, and I want to talk about the historical. Look, Patrick Mahomes may end up being more decorated than any quarterback in the league, and that includes Tom Brady, depending on how long he plays, but he is about to play in his fourth Super Bowl in his 5 years as a starter, right?
It's insane.
Right?
It's insane.
They have been in the conference championship game for
every single year. Well, no, he's been to six
conference championship games as a starter. So this is his seventh year in the league. He's going to his fourth Super Bowl. He's already got two wins. So we're sort of on track. Is he going to play till he's 44? I don't know. Anyway, he
might not need to catch Brady.
Well, they don't have weapons. Everything we've been saying about Kansas City this year is still true. Their wide receivers are just okay. Shouts to Marquez Valdez-Scantling for making another big play for the set, you know, two games in a row. Rashee Rice is a nice underneath guy. But essentially, Baltimore could not stop Travis Kelce. Couldn't. 11 catches. A lot of that was in the first half, but 11 catches. He's now the all-time leading receiver in postseason history for total number of catches. Mahomes and Kelce, that's history to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, this is the best defense he's ever had, which is pretty fascinating. And if you, you know, again, this game, like, you take it from a 30,000-foot viewpoint, and the Ravens had the, you know, the one touchdown to Zay Flowers early in the game in the first quarter.
Right.
We got three touchdowns. It felt like this game was going to be off the chains offensively through the first 20 minutes of game time, right?
Right.
The touchdown to Kelce, the answer from the Ravens, you know, the Chiefs didn't go and make it 14-7 early in the second quarter, yep. 10:56 left, Pacheco scores. There wasn't a touchdown the rest of the game.
There was only three points the rest of the game. No, there was 6 points. Each team kicked the field goal.
Yep. I think what that speaks to, one, is the defense. It also speaks to the fact that the Ravens defense was historically good and a really dangerous unit. And what happened was Mahomes showed up to that game and he went, started 11 for 11, and he was just unbelievable.
He was great.
He was just unbelievable. He was so dialed in, so locked in. And when he comes to play like that, he is just impossible to stop. He's too good. And that's sort of the story of the Chiefs this season, where to me it reminds me a lot of Patriots teams that would get to the playoffs and you'd be like, all right, they got this terrible division. The Jets, the Bills, and the Dolphins stink. But, you know, Brady's in the playoffs. They got home field advantage, but they're not, this isn't a very good Patriots team, and they'd get to the playoffs and they'd just have better coaching and better quarterbacking, and they'd have their elite weapons step up, and sometimes they'd have a great defense. And that's what this Chiefs team is, and that's why they're back in the Super Bowl. You know, they had to go on the road. They didn't have a home field advantage. They beat the Bills, they beat the Ravens. They did it with defense and with Mahomes just being Patrick Mahomes and flipping the switch when the playoffs got here. And that's just something that we saw over and over again with the Patriots. Like, all right, you know, like this isn't the Patriots year. And they would flip the switch and Brady would be great. And that's what the Chiefs did with Mahomes.
As long as Travis Kelce wants to play, I don't know how you beat that duo. Tight ends who can move like him and catch like him are too difficult to deal with. Real quick, like, we got like a minute here. The Ravens are going to have to live with this, with the way they really melted down. Whether it's Flowers and the fumble going in, his taunting penalty, which you just can't do that. You can't cost yourself 15 yards when you're trailing like they were trailing. The Lamar Jackson interception, which, man, just throw it away. I don't know why you're trying to force it into. To me, that wasn't PI. I understand what Gene Steratore said. And by the way, you probably should look at the video before you say that the contact happened after the interception. And then we all see it in real time. No, but he wasn't coming back for the ball anyway. So if you're fighting back for the ball, maybe you get the call, but you weren't. So I didn't hate any of the officiating calls, but they made so many mistakes, and they had the personal fouls that helped Kansas City down the field later. I just thought that Baltimore just kind of lost their poise.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think that you could even argue that they sort of lost their poise from a game planning perspective before the game started.
By not
right?
running like, the ball, right?
I mean, they had 6 carries by their running backs in this game.
Yeah.
Gus Edwards had 15 on his first one and got 2 more carries. Justice Hill had 3 for 3 yards. And it felt like they wanted Lamar to stay in the pocket and not use his legs, which to me was just crazy. I did not understand their game plan whatsoever.
Yeah, it there were a lot of things that they're going to be questioning in Baltimore because 17 points shouldn't have been enough to beat them at home. Kansas City's got a good defense, but Lamar Jackson's going to be the unanimous MVP, and he had a historic season. And they scored 7 points on their home field and 0 after their first drive.
Bad look.
Just terrible. I'm sorry, they scored 3 more points. Justin Tucker kicked the field goal.
Right. Yeah.
And
you
by the way,
Tucker field goal.
I loved Kelce and Tucker in the pregame. Loved it. Loved every second of it. since it's on CBS, apparently America's most watched network, are we going to have a Taylor Swift cam during the Super Bowl?
I don't know about that.
A channel with a camera trained on Taylor Swift the entire time?
Look, Fox got the better game in the conference championships after we got the incredible divisional round game. I would predict that. I actually thought that CBS was really muted in the coverage of Taylor Swift for the conference championship game.
Sure.
I think it'll be a little less muted for the Super Bowl because I think there's a really good chance that Chiefs 49ers, great matchup, should be a shootout, totals 48, and Taylor Swift's going to be there. should be the highest, most watched Super Bowl in NFL history in Las Vegas on CBS and streaming, of course, on Paramount Plus.
Will Brinson, I'll talk to you later, man. Appreciate your time. Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, Pick 6 podcast moderator.